Disclaimer: this podcast is for entertainment purposes only and should not be considered as facts. Nothing that is said about any person, organization, gaming company, or sport topic in general should be taken as facts, as well as any talk about any political, religious, or medical topics. As for medical topics, at all times you should speak to a licensed medical professional before any opinion is considered. Everything that is said on this podcast is opinion based only. Viewers and listeners' discretion is advised.
Welcome to the Dr. VTech Show. This podcast is a long-form conversation hosted by Dr. VTech with the top guests in the world of esports. All from owners, pros, semi-pros, former pros, and content creators of many games. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Dr. VTech Show. Well, today we got a special guest. Our special guest is a phenomenal human being. Actually, she is a friend of mine, and she is the mom of a phenomenal Halo semi-pro player, Persecute. Her name is Sherry, and she has a big testimony to give out, and trust me, it's a big honor. Sherry, how you doing?
Thanks for having me. Just me sitting here on my lunch break at church.
Good where I work. So Sherry, so I know you have a really big testimony. I know Persecute says it a lot in his streams, during his stream, and I would really like for you to share that, you know, with the world. Now that I'm from 14 countries, now I'm over 25 countries being listened to.
Wow.
So I think it'll be an amazing experience to tell everybody what you went through, a little bit of sort of what I went through in a way, because they took a cancer out of my body, and you and I are both cancer survivors. So
So I guess the moral of the story is you either yield to God's control over your life, or, you know, you're going to go through some stuff before you finally decide that you've had enough. Like for me, for instance, I guess along the lines of, I guess, because it's because of my son that we're even talking or that we even know each other. But even for me growing up, I'll say in the church, I won't say that I was a Christian, but I was raised in church. And my family experienced some church hurt, and we left and moved to Las Vegas. I kind of went crazy. I was 17. I lived in a small town in Oklahoma up until then. So when I moved to Vegas as a junior in high school, it was a lot of culture shock for me. And my parents, obviously, because they were church, you know, hurt, we stopped going to church altogether. And our lives just kind of just literally what was the way we were all of a sudden was not. Went a little crazy, got a little rebellious, and because of that, all of a sudden, with no direction from my parents as to why our lifestyle had changed, it was just like, you know, when it was also, I'm from the generation of, it's none of your business, you're a kid, sit down and shut up. You know, that whole, we weren't allowed to ask questions, nothing was explained to us. It was do as I say, not as I do. And all of that thing, now that I am 42 and I have 5 children, I know that what that does in a child's heart is sow seeds of rebellion. It enables things like, well, that's not fair. And I'm going to obey you because I know I'm going to get punished. But in my heart, nah, that's not for me. I'm not going to toe that line when I'm finally 18 and can be free of this. So with all of that being said, I went completely nuts as a teenager and into my 20s, got pregnant with Christian. Persecute the second semester of senior year of high school, was pregnant through graduation, walked to get my diploma. I still graduated the top 5% of my class, but I got my diploma and was a single mom. And, you know, Ron and I stayed together until Christian was 3. I was just young and dumb and stupid. And just all of the things that spiraled out of control for my life because of my need to just run from the Lord was probably, it went through, you know, from breaking up with Christian's dad to getting married, you know, at 23, having my second son, Noah, who's also Brosecute, if you see him on Twitch, We just had this crazy, wild life living in Vegas. Anything you could think of that you could be involved in Vegas, I did it. It's whether it be having a porn addiction or alcoholism, doing drugs and partying, and all the things that you could think of. That was my life. And it was like, you know, the more raunchy you could be, especially as a feminist, like the more raunchy and the more on edge you could be and more provocative you could be, the cooler you were, you know, in the world. Right. So mm-hmm. I was all those things. I was the one that would fight in the bars. I was the one that had the nastiest mouth. We did all the things. So fast forward to all of those things happening. And, I get a divorce. I marry my now current husband. We moved to Germany. Like, everything is just spiraling and just kind of, you're just kind of going with the flow with no direction. My husband and I got pregnant with our first child, and I lost him at 16 weeks, had to deliver him and all the things. We were overseas in Germany at the time with no family. We didn't speak the language. We were civilians, so we had to go to German hospital, which was fine, like all the things. And it was in that moment that I remember sitting up in that hospital and telling God that I would never live for him, that I hated him, that I would never follow a God that would allow something so heartbreaking to happen to a woman. I said, I can't, I won't, I'm done. This is it. And I left it at that. And even in that moment of like just pure hatred on my part towards the Lord, he pursued me. And he pursued me for another, like a good 8 months. And I finally broke down because at that point I was then pregnant with our oldest daughter. And I felt her move for the first time. And it was just something in my heart and my mind just clicked and said, like, thought, like, I can't go through that again. Like, I know I won't mentally and emotionally be able to handle that again. And God, I'm sorry. I need you. Help me go through this. And in that moment, I gave my life to the Lord. I was 31 at the time, so it's been almost 12 years. And every, you know, and I have been, like, completely and radically changed by just that decision. Like, I didn't have to go down, you know, growing up, you had to go to the altar and you had to have people lay hands on you and you had to do this and you had to do that and you had to do, it wasn't any theatrical thing. It wasn't an emotional scene. It was just a decision that I made to follow hard after Christ. And at that point, like, I have a 12-year-old son and I had a 7-year-old son that had watched me live literally like the devil. And so if nothing else, and my girls have never known me any other way. So to them, that's a blessing. But for my boys, my prayer is that I'm still, and I'm the most transparent person. And I'm, unfortunately, I'm an overshare at times. But it's just because I believe with everything in my being that if the Lord could be gracious enough to forgive me and all the things that I did and the times that I was blatantly dead set against him and he still found me forgivable, then I know that's true for everybody else that hasn't done half the things that I've done. So for me now moving forward, like, it's been a heart change. But I also want to make sure that when I tell people these things that, oh yeah, I came to Christ and life was great. Yes. And I still got cancer, you know, like,
yeah,
I still got cancer. I still found out that I was born with a congenital heart defect and I'll need my aortic valve replaced. I still, like, there's still things that we're going to withstand and go through because we are, it's just a product of the fall, right? We live in a sin cursed world. So we're going to there's going to be sickness. There's going to be pain. There's going to be, you know, you're going to do without and you're going to struggle. But there's the hope in Christ that we have now that we didn't before. That if right. all else fails and if there's nothing else that happens, and if I wouldn't have been healed of my cancer on this side of heaven, I'd get to go to heaven. And that's enough. That takes precedence over any earthly treasure. So I guess that's it in a nutshell of just me trying to be my most authentic and transparent self. Whether it's me being me standing behind my son for 14 hours in the dungeon of a Halo tournament or sitting in my office right now where I am, you know, the executive assistant to our senior pastor or playing in the orchestra every Sunday morning, which I do. Everything in between, I want to make sure that I don't get so pompous and puffed up that I think that I've arrived, because I haven't. I make mistakes and I sin all the time. and I want to be a good wife and a good mother, and I want to never act in front of my children as if I've never made a mistake. And I just want to be available to people that could have any kinds of questions, especially in today's climate. You never know what is coming at us, right? So I guess that was a very long-winded answer, but that's just kind of where I'm at and how I want to live out the rest of my life. Like, running from Christ, coming to Christ, and I just want to walk it out. And even though I'm in Christ, life is not going to be rainbows and unicorns. It's still life.
Correct.
So, yeah.
Yeah. I just recently saw a testimony of a person that he passed away for, like, I think, I don't know how many minutes. I kind of forgot. I don't know if it was 8 minutes or 30 minutes. And he got to see heaven. He saw family members. And the voice he heard, he said he knew it was God speaking to him. He said, "It's not your time." Came back depressed. He came back depressed. And I'm like, why would you be depressed? You should be like happy. You got to see family members. You got to see, but he felt depressed because he felt rejected. And he said, why didn't God want me? Why God didn't want me? And he had to seek therapy, and through therapy, you know, he's perfectly fine now. Mm-hmm. His mom was explaining, you know, all the stuff that he kind of like went through. And then he spoke and he said, yeah, I'm good now. Now I know I have a purpose in life here. Mm-hmm. There's a reason why I'm here. And seeing what you have gone through and knowing what you have gone through, it's a lot. I know there's a lot more to the testimony,
yeah,
a lot deeper stuff. But I don't know how you did it, to be honest, because you went through a lot of struggles. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, coming to know God and having that relationship with him, mm-hmm, that's what really like built the foundation and helped, yeah, you go through that storm. Because everybody's, yeah, going to go through a storm once in their life.
Yeah.
Even Job went through his storm. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people think Job was phenomenal and perfect. I'm like, well, not exactly. He did a lot of things that he shouldn't have. And there's a reason why, this is something that I learned, why did Job went through what he went through?
And because, you know, God appointed him to suffer.
He appointed him to suffer, but there was another thing, and I didn't know it. He went through because he didn't know God like the way he's supposed to know God. We all say, well, I know, I pray to God. Really? But do you really know who he is?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's what Job says in Job 42:16, because that's something that I've kind of staked my cancer journey on. Because, mm-hmm, I'm especially getting saved, you know, or especially getting cancer, you know, I was already, you know, 6-7 years into, you know, being a Christian and living for the Lord, and I got cancer. But Job 42:16, I think that's the verse that says, Job says, now, like, I've heard about you. I heard, yes, your words. I heard about you. But now that I've seen you.
Now I've seen you.
Now that I know that, like, I haven't been covered in boils, scraping myself with potsherds and covered in ash like Job. But there were times during chemo that I was on the bathroom floor begging God to kill me.
Hmm.
There were times where a year after radiation, my sternum was still sore and burning from the damage of having, you know, all the spots that I had tumors, you know, irradiated. And there are moments now where it's like, gosh, like knowing that we found, and also being able, as trite as it sounds, to realize that if I hadn't have gone through cancer or cancer treatment, if I hadn't have gone through chemo, I would never have gone to a cardiologist. Never. Because I have never had to see one. And I'm the kind of person that only goes to the doctor. Like, as a woman, I only went to the doctor when I was pregnant. When I wasn't pregnant, OTC, everything. Over-the-counter, home remedies, whatever. But because I was being seen by an oncologist, I had to go to a cardiologist. And I started having these weird side effects from chemo once I was done. They thought I was having strokes. Well, come to find out, I'm not having strokes. It was just radiation, you know, damage to like neurons in my brain that's causing me to have stroke like migraines. But he went ahead and did a full cardiac workup and come to find out I have severe aortic insufficiency. I have a bum aortic valve that was not caused by my chemo. It was something I was born with. And my doctor, my cardio, and I just went today to get my, to have another echo. It's something that if I had not addressed it now in my late 30s to early 40s, I could have been a 55-year-old grandma that could have had just like a massive heart attack and no one would have known why. Because I'm healthy. So if I wouldn't have gone through chemo, because God knew that it had to have been something serious enough like cancer, and still it took 18 months for them to find my cancer because I was healthy and no one knew what was causing all of my B symptoms. It had to be something as serious as cancer for the Lord knew it would be something that would make me pay attention. So it's all the things that the Lord, if you allow him, can even orchestrate your illnesses and your suffering to further better you, to give you one more opportunity to give glory to him and to see him work his will out for your life in spite of your suffering. I mean, and I tell people, especially ladies, when I get to talk to women, I do not get down and out when you talk about, like, if I were to sit and think about all of the suffering and all the bad things that I've gone through, to me, it makes me that much more relatable to so many more women. Like, my perspective is broad. I've been a teenage mom. I've been a single mom. I've ran away from God. I've had a porn addiction. I did drugs. I was an alcohol abuser. I've had a stillborn baby. I've been divorced. I've had cancer. I now have a heart defect. I could list numerous things. And in spite of all of that, and even in conjunction with everything that used to be me and everything that I will go through now and in the future, God is good. God is sustaining. God gives you peace. And he is the author and perfecter of my faith. It's because of him and all the things that I've had to be, that sometimes by him dragged through, that I love him and I trust him all the more.
Mm-hmm.
And we're coming into a day and an age where you're going to have to choose. Are you going to say what you need to say? Are you going to say what you believe? Or are you just going to shrink into the corner and be like, well, I don't really agree, but I don't want to make you mad, so I'm just going to kind of be neutral. No. I mean, everybody in the Halo world saw what happened to Andrea. We all saw what happened to Magic Moonshot.
Mm-hmm.
And she's fine. She did the right thing. She came under harsh persecution. And she did not falter on her beliefs. And mm-hmm. she will, like, we're all going to have to get to a point, we Christians are all going to have to get to a point eventually where we make that decision and we make it out loud. Because I know most of us, we have that decision made in our hearts.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have to start making it out loud and living it out loud. And the gaming community is one of the hardest places to do it.
Yeah, the gaming community it's very, very toxic. Mm-hmm. It's to the point that I even have given thought not to even long ago, just recently, like within this month, before the surgery and after my surgery, I've just been in the big debate if mm-hmm. I want to continue in this, mm-hmm. even on the podcast, even doing this and be involved on esports mm-hmm. because it's a very dirty world out there. Okay.
Yeah.
I talked to a previous CEO owner, can't mention names or what team or what whatever, but he was an owner of an organization and he gave me a really, you know, good advice. He says, listen, you know, the gaming industry is a very dirty industry.
Mm.
It's very rough, it's very hard. Everybody's to themselves. Everyone has this high egos.
Mm-hmm.
If you're popular, then you're friends with everybody. If you're not popular, you're not friends with nobody.
Well, and I think that just shows the depravity of not just, I mean, I don't want to pick on the gaming, but just the world mm-hmm. in general, but especially like it just shines a light on the lostness, you know? And it's where, like, unfortunately, it gets to the point to where if you are outspoken about your faith on platforms, you know, like gaming and esports, you're going to get canceled. And if you were already being gatekept, you're going to get gatekept even more. Like, your opportunities are going to be less and less and less.
Yeah.
So then you have to make a choice. Do I want to fight this fight? Or do I want to step out and do, you know, something different and, like, walk out, you know, my giftings and my strengths and my skill set in another way? And it just all comes down to a personal choice at that time.
Yeah, it's true. Because if you, let's say, for an example, you don't agree with someone that they mm-hmm. do, and I'm going to give an example, like the transgender community. Mm-hmm. If you say, mm-hmm. I don't agree with this. Mm-hmm.
Sorry.
Then
I'm on a podcast. Sorry.
No, you're good. I'll go ahead and edit that out.
Oh, can you move? Sorry. Okay.
You're good now?
Yeah.
Okay.
The transgender.
So, yeah. So if you have an opinion and you say, for an example, you don't agree with the transgender movement, yeah. Okay,
mm-hmm.
which in fact that is a big topic nowadays.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you could say, okay, I don't agree with this.
Yeah.
But immediately you say you don't agree with it.
Yeah.
They're going to say, okay, you're transphobic. Them. Or yeah, no, you homophobic, mm-hmm. okay, all this and this and that, and said, no, it's not no. that. It's mm-hmm. I just don't agree with it. I tell people, listen, on my opinion, God give you a free will. Mm-hmm. You could do whatever you want, and that's your life, and yeah, you're going to choose the yeah. road what you're going to mm-hmm. go to.
By all means, go for
now,
it.
Now, when it comes to, like, children and stuff like that, I'm kind of opposed. A kid mm-hmm. does not have the right to drink.
Yeah,
they at it till they're a legal age. They can't drive a vehicle at a certain age. They can't
legally.
Smoke.
Mm-hmm.
They cannot even be with an adult and have intimacy.
No, they okay, can't even vote then, for president.
But then on top of that, they're gonna say, okay, but yeah, they can make a decision to change their sex and everything yeah. like that. So then, it automatically, if you have open-minded thoughts mm-hmm. and say, hey, okay, I don't agree with this, you immediately get pointed,
yeah.
you get targeted,
mm-hmm.
and you're like, okay, so then what is it then? Because you see these people saying harsh things to those that protest about it or disagree to them,
mm-hmm.
but then then you see them as well saying, oh, this guy was with an underage girl. But wait one second. Didn't you just said on another post that that person can do whatever they want because it's their body?
It's their body, their choice.
So now you're saying this children is allowed to do whatever they want
yeah.
because it's their body, but then also you're protesting that they cannot be with somebody older mm-hmm. than them.
Yeah, I think that's the problem I have with, not the problem I have, it's not a problem. It saddens me to know that, like you said, if you say, you know, I disagree with transgenderism, I have a biblical worldview, I believe that marriage is the way God intended it in Genesis, I believe that God created male and female, all the things that we Christians know that we believe coming from between the, you know, Genesis 1 through 11, all of that, like everything that's ever happened under the sun happened through Genesis chapter 1 through Genesis chapter 11. Okay, that's my worldview. That's where I'm going to see. That's the lens in which I'm going to look at all things.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's true for me, that doesn't automatically mean that I hate anyone that thinks opposite of me. It
Correct.
Doesn't. We
Correct.
Just don't agree on, we just don't have the same worldview. You have a secular worldview, you're going to believe what you believe. I have a biblical worldview, and I'm going to believe what I believe based on the truth of what I believe is, like, based on the truth of Scripture, because that's my choice. That's the choice I have, just like you have, anybody else has the choice to believe the opposing side of, you know, Elton things. So then that, I think, is that is the most saddening thing. It's like, I don't hate anybody. I have friends that are not Christian. I have family that are not Christian. I don't hate them. I love them. And if I'm supposed to live according to the rules and statutes of Scripture, I'm commanded to love not only my neighbor, but pray for my enemies. So how can I say, how can anybody say that or infer that I hate anybody because I don't think that a kid can change their biological sex? That's my opinion. And if I'm transphobic for that, then, you know, or if people want to say someone is homophobic, if they don't agree with anybody being homosexual, then I guess you're heterophobic if you think that I shouldn't be with my husband. It should go both ways.
Yeah, it should go both ways. I mean, it's just ridiculous. I mean, I have gay friends and I love them to pieces. And even where I work, there's a lot of them. And, you know, I love them for who they are. You know, it's like I tell them, I love you for who you are. I disagree with certain things, but that's your lifestyle. Like, you probably disagree with me with other things. So.
But when it comes down to it, the only thing that we disagree, like, if someone is homosexual, they're still themselves.
Exactly.
We disagree with the things that they do behind closed doors in their intimate moments. That's nobody's business. Nobody's business what I do with my husband, just like it's nobody's business what a homosexual couple does.
Mm-hmm.
So if the thing that is frustrating to me is that if I can agree to disagree and still be kind to people that are opposite of me, it's sad that it cannot be reciprocated back the other way. It's sad to me that it's then automatically, you know, beefed up to be, well, you hate. I don't. I just disagree, but I still like you. I still want to be your friend. We can still have a relationship.
Correct.
It's all the double standards. It's double standards, you know, and you can see double standards in every part of our culture.
And everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
I always question myself. I mean, I think God has a reason for everything. Why, like, for example, why Chris could not, I mean, as good as a player he is, why he was never picked up? And I'm like thinking, okay, what's going on here? And I looked throughout Halo. I said, was it because of his faith? They picked it up. Okay, he's a Christian person, and probably I don't know. It's it always makes me really think to why is it he never got picked up.
Honestly, as his mom, I can say that because I can say, you know, Christian has been outspoken about his faith. But there's also been season of his life where, you know, he's just been about the grind, you know. And there's times when he's playing, he's being consistent, and there's times that he's not. And I think it's just frustrating for someone in his shoes where it just seemed like he just couldn't ever get past a certain level, could never get, you know, past a certain level of an FFA or past a certain, you know, top 12 or top 16, or like, just, there's just always this place that he couldn't get pushed past. And for me, looking at it from the outside in, I'm thinking it's just not God's will that be for him. And that's okay. Like, you're still talented. You can still be a great, you know, content creator, but it doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to get picked up as a pro. Great. Like, but you can still do what you can do and in the avenues in which you've been, you know, given to drive down. So then for me, it's like, you know, he's very gifted musically. He plays the drums. He played the drums at our last church. He picked up the sticks, never was in bands, never had lessons. And he could play. He led, with the praise band at our last church. You know, you can't just beatbox the way he does and come up in your mind with all the beats that he does without that being a talent. Your normal brains just don't work like that. You have to be musically gifted to do things like that. And then also, like, he's always been a very tender, you know, not sensitive in a bad way, but he's just always been a nice, easygoing kid. He was never naughty as a little boy. He never lied. He never hit his brother or like, and it sounds strange to say those things, but, or like, you know, because I'm not one of those mothers that doesn't see their kids for who they really are. But Christian has always been a good boy, and he's grown up to be a very, like, he's just a very well-intended young man. And I think maybe the reason why he hasn't been able to break through the ceiling, per se, in esports is just God's providence. Especially when you get into, like, you know, the thick of, like, the culture of everything. And it's not that it's bad, and it's not that everyone, like, that we don't like anybody in esports, but it's just not a family-friendly, wholesome place to be. It's not.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just not, you know. So, and on one hand, I'm sad because I know it has been his passion and something that he really aspired to do. But on the other hand, I'm also grateful that he didn't get into a situation that he would then regret.
Correct.
And then feel like he would have to compromise. Like, who, like, how awful would it be to finally get that pro contract and have to make a tough decision when your faith, comes into question, or if you're asked to, you know, do something, or just, you know, I don't know, not that anything bad has ever happened. I'm just saying, you know, all, you know, hypothetically,
mm-hmm.
I think it's just God's providence and God's will that, you know, all things happen the way that they should and when they should.
Yeah, that's what I think as well. Cause he plays really, really good, and he outperforms a lot of these pro players, and he does good. What I just don't like about Halo is that they judge you for the team you're in. Mm-hmm. So say, for instance, he's playing and he loses whatever in the match. Well, since you came in last or whatever, you came in 20th place. Well, you're not good. You need a lot of learn. Wait one second. You should judge the person individually. Mm-hmm. He could have been the best player on that team, and he is pulling his weight and doing phenomenal. But unfortunately, all of his other teammates don't play like him. So he ends up losing. So that's one of the things I just really don't like about Halo. I mean,
and I told him too, like, it's not always, it's something that, I mean, it's a lesson to be learned too. Like, okay, like, did you practice enough as you should, as much as you should together? Did you scrim as much as you could have? Did you put in the work after hours, not on stream? Did you do, like, there's all the things that you can always do better, and you can always work more, and you can always be more consistent. There's always something to learn. And I think also too, sometimes the Lord takes us through trials to, like, teach us how to lose.
Correct.
You gotta lose well.
Yeah.
You have to be able, if you can't lose well, how will you win humbly?
Correct.
So there's all those things that come into play, and that serves you throughout the rest of your life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're working on a big project at work, and it's a flop. Are you going to have a bad attitude about it, or is it going to motivate you to do better? You know, and it's just like, you know, you go through and you grind for 9 hours a day or 9 hours during a tournament, and you end up, you know, not making it as high as you can be. And like, usually it's like you win until winner's round six, and you drop down and you lose one, right? Knocks you to losers,
mm-hmm.
lose a couple more. And for me, my perspective was always, but you won so much more than you lost. That's a great, like, that's the mindset you should have. You went to winner's round six, hypothetically. Winner's round six, knocked out loser's round eight. Looks like you won a whole lot more than you lost. To me, that's a win.
Correct.
So then you go back to the woodshed, and you say, okay, well, what mistakes did I make in those three losses that I can then maybe go further, instead of getting ticked off and mad and upset, and then, you know, all the things that we all do, like, lose well, take the lesson, apply it to the next time, and hopefully progress further.
I think he put a lot of pressure on himself.
He gets that honest. He is a perfectionist like his mother. It's hard. It's a blessing and it's a curse. And then, you know, it's always something like, nobody demands perfection from me but me. Mm-hmm. And that is oftentimes like the crux, you know? And so, yeah. And it's only because, like, you just want it. You just want to do a good job.
Correct.
You know, and when you don't, you disappoint yourself. Wow. And then everything, too, like flipping things around to, like, if the God of the universe does not expect perfection of me, and if he accepts me in my imperfection, then why do I demand so much from myself? Who am I to think that I should elevate myself to a higher status than the Lord even accepts me at? Like, it's all those, like, perspective shifts of, like, nah, this is okay. Like, I'm fine. If I'm in right standing with God and I have peace with the Lord, keep it moving.
Correct.
Just keep doing the next right thing.
Wow. It's crazy because I always felt that. I always felt that he put a lot of pressure on himself.
Hmm.
And then I see the difference how he plays with it when he was to play with other pros.
Mm-hmm.
And then I see that he was even, I mean, he would do good. He would like, wait one second, you're MVP. You actually did better than this guy and this other guy. And they're actually on a team.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I was like, why he hasn't gotten picked up? And I just came to realize, you know what? It's God's will. God knows what's best for him.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a reason why to everything. And probably, you know, because God knows the future. God knows what's going to be best for him. And probably if he was to be on pro league, he was going to stray away, probably not dedicate as much time that he needs to better himself with the Lord and all this stuff. So he's gonna struggle. So it's better off to keep him out, game whenever he wants to as a pleasure, mm-hmm. when he wants to, and have some fun and but just now concentrate on the Lord. And I want to be really honest. There's nothing better than that personal relationship with God. I'm gonna mm-hmm. be really honest with you. That's one of the most deepest and profound things you could ever do, and it's the most amazing experience you can have, just that mm-hmm. relationship, because there's not going to be nothing that's gonna actually fill up that part of your heart.
No,
other than that, I mean, you could have a lot of money in the bank, you could be popular, you could, you know, be famous and whatever, but nothing's gonna fill up your heart. And that actually, saying that actually happened to a famous rapper in Puerto Rico, where I'm from. He always rapped and sing along with this famous rapper named Bad mm-hmm. Bunny. So what happened was that nobody expected him to, you know, hang up the gloves. And he says, listen, guys, I gave my life to Christ. Mm-hmm. I can't no more with this. Mm-hmm. Money is not making me happy. Fame is not making me happy. Nothing. I had it all and I felt lonely. I felt empty. I felt like I cannot even live. He says, but I gave my life to Christ and now I feel I have a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need to do this no more.
Yeah.
And he stopped. He had to finish up his contract that he had. I don't know which record label. Mm-hmm. And he finished it up and then now he's living totally changed. Changed.
Yeah.
And not only with one, now came another one, a second rapper, that a reggaeton singer.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's preaching. Now he's literally, I'm like, he has tattoos all over. He doesn't care. Dresses up, boom, preaches to the youth.
Mm.
And I'm like, wow, look what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
People are coming to God. They're feeling empty and they feel like, hey, what I thought it was going to be good for me is not good for me no more.
If you think about it, if you look back, you know, 90s when I was a teenager, you know, and like there was a whole East Coast, West Coast thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And everybody, whether it's, you know, gang related or this, you know, this weird sexual revolution thing that's going on, you know, that's started back in the 60s and 70s, this weird feminism stuff that's still kind of running rampant. People are looking for something. They are looking for family. They are looking for someone, some community to make them feel accepted and loved.
Mm-hmm.
And they, that really is what it all boils down to. We were created to do life with people.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, we've fallen away so far from the truth of God's word that we've allowed, you know, all these different worldviews in, right? To then say, oh, we'll try this or try spirit, like do New Age, do, you know, but I'm not religious. I'm not a religious person. I'm spiritual. Oh, okay. What does that mean? Mm-hmm. But you can make it mean whatever you want at this point, right? And I've just come to realize that, especially when it comes to like my first ministry is to follow hard after Christ. Like that's my first job in life, to be a godly wife and submit to my husband, and then to be a mother to my children. And it doesn't matter. I've got a 23-year-old, an 18-year-old, an 11-year-old, and a 9-year-old. Those are the people, my husband and my children are who I'm going to go to the end of the earth for.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the day, whether it's Christian pursuing esports or Christian being called into ministry, whether it be music or tech and AV or whatever he wants to do, or my other son who's 18 living in Vegas and his career pursuits and what he's going to do, and then getting my 9 and 11-year-old ready for middle school and all the things to come, I'm going to support them. I'll stand in the trenches of an arena behind my son and watch him play Halo for 15 hours a day. For 15 hours, you know, during a tournament, if that's what he wants to do, I'm going to be there. I'm going to be there no matter what. So at the end of the day, it's not just about focusing on, you know, persecute. Is he going to make it? Is he not? I'm just there to be his mom.
Correct.
And if my kid wants to pursue esports, great. I'm here for you. I'll root for you. I'll stand there. I'll drive. I'll fly. I'll do the things. If you don't, great. What is it that you do want to do? Because I'll support that too. I just want to make sure that I am giving my children the intentional attention that they need from me as their mother to know that I've got their back, regardless.
Correct.
You know, and like the biggest thing is like my girls now are 9 and 11. And when I got sick, they were 6 and 4. I worked every day that I didn't have chemo. I took them to school still. I still worked. I never took FMLA. I came to work except for my chemo Friday.
Mm-hmm.
I still did all the things around the house, still served at church, still sang in the choir, still did all the things. And now looking back, my girls looking back, they're like, man, we didn't even really know you were sick.
Hmm.
I mean, obviously they did because, you know, my hair fell out and all that stuff. But at the end of the day, it's not about me. Like, I've been giving these opportunities to pour into all these other human beings. And I'm going to do that to the best of my ability. Because at the end of the day, the fact that all 4 of my biological children, like, fear and love the Lord and are eternally secure and going to heaven, like, my major box in life is checked. Mm-hmm. Now all I need to do for the rest of their lives, or the rest of my life, because they're going to outlive me, is make sure that I can lead them and guide them on their own personal paths of sanctification and growing walking out their own faith. So it's like we could get bogged down in all the things here on this side of earth in this existence. But at the end of the day, I've got eternal perspectives. And right. I want everything is for the fact that God is sovereign. He predestined all of our lives to work out in the way in which they are. and we have a choice as to when we pick up his will for our lives. My job is to make sure that I keep my kids plugged into that while also holding myself accountable and doing the same so that we can live for eternity together with God. That's it. In a nutshell.
That's how it should be. Mm-hmm. That's how it should be. Now, you know, once you become a parent, it's so different. You start thinking about, okay, their future, how to make sure that they have the proper tools and everything, mm-hmm. and knowledge that they need to have, yeah. to go through this life.
Yeah. One thing that my husband always says, like, man, you're scaring the kids. You tell them too much. Like, they know too much about your past. No, they don't. I'm going to share with them the things that I've experienced and I've been through because I don't want them to ever be blindsided by something. And I don't ever want them to think that there's anything that they're going to think about, experience, do or get, you know, tempted with that I haven't myself done. Because for me, I was raised in that generation of, like, you know, it's none of your business. We don't talk about those things. We don't talk about that. That's private talk, or I'll tell you later. I'll tell you when you're older. And then you never get told, and you get thrown out into the world when you're 18 and you are, like, bombarded with all the stuff that you were sheltered from.
Mm-hmm.
So then you just decide, well, why not be like the prodigal son and just go buck wild? It's fun. You know, the first time you have premarital sex and you didn't die, you didn't get pregnant. Oh, well, nothing bad happened. Why should I wait? Why not? I already did it. Let's keep doing it. So then you just start building on all those things. And it's so unnecessary. You end up, all you're doing is putting, like, you're just packing on, like, more and more baggage to carry on into your adult life. That's so unnecessary. Yeah. I want my children to enter into adulthood completely unburdened, with no baggage,
mm-hmm.
that they can just live authentically who they are for Christ, and we'll figure it out as we go. But I just want to make sure that all of my kids know that they can talk to me. I've been there. I've probably done it. And it's okay. And if you do it too, you can be forgiven just like I was. And let's learn from our mistakes and keep it moving.
That's true. You've been there. You've done that.
Promise, I've done it.
Yeah. So you're trying to, like, give them the heads up. Listen, don't try this because I've been there, done that, and it's not going to work. I can guarantee you 100%.
I promise you. Yeah.
I can guarantee you 100%.
I kind of feel bad that this wasn't really a gaming podcast. It was more of, like, I don't know.
Well, it's mainly more, I said, it's like a Joe Rogan type of style. It's like, you know, like two friends catching up and seeing how they're doing.
Yeah.
Whoever would be interested will stay and listen, and some do and some don't. I had different type of guests on the show that are part of different games. They're not just Rainbow Six Siege or Halo.
Yeah.
I had, you know, guests that are iRacing. I never knew that was a thing. They're just, you know, they do NASCAR.
Mm-hmm.
Pro League NASCAR or Indy. I was like, wow. You know, I had them on the show. And some people, like, they're not into it. They're into first-person shooting. And and those that are interested will listen. And those are not, that just won't listen. So on this case, you know, I wanted to bring you in because, you know, you're a cancer survivor. And we both tackled the same thing. Yours was a little bit more aggressive than mine. You had to go,
chemo
and all that stuff.
And radiation.
So you got hit on both ends with chemo and radiation.
Mm-hmm.
Me, it was caught very early.
That's good.
It's like you said, when you went and you found out about your heart, I didn't go to the ER because I felt, you know, my back or there was blood in the urine.
Mm-hmm.
I went because I drunk the smoothie.
Yeah.
And if it wasn't for that smoothie that day, I would have still been doing whatever I'm doing, not knowing there was something growing in me.
Mm-hmm.
And it could have went and spread out, you know, God forbid, you know, but God knows best.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, well, today you're going to get the same smoothie you always get, but this time it's going to explode on your stomach.
Yeah, it's going to make you sick. Yep.
It's going to make you sick, and you're going to have to go to the ER.
Yep.
And I'm like, it's so grateful. Mm. I went to the ER for one thing, and they come to know it, they found something bigger. And yeah. I thank the Lord, because I was like, okay, there was a reason why. I was complaining about the pain. I was complaining about the drink. Oh, I shouldn't have drank that. I shouldn't have that. Mm-hmm. And now I'm like, okay, I thank God I drunk it.
Yeah. You know? And like for me, it's like when that perspective shifts and you start looking at things through the lens of, you know, God being in control of all things. And it can seem really trite to see like, oh, well, you know, we're late getting on the road. You know, we got to hurry up and we got to go. And you're in our busy lives. And like, you don't have to think like now it's like, well, maybe we're late. Maybe the Lord is saving us from something on the road. Or maybe you missed that airplane because you probably shouldn't have gone. Or maybe like there's all these things where, you know, God is setting up provision. And for me, I try to remember that, because even knowing when, like I said in the beginning, whenever I sat up in that hospital room, in that maternity ward, and told God to leave me alone. I hate you. Do not pursue me. I will never live for you. I will never follow you. He pursued me still. There's provision made for me still. And even like, there's so much that I could go into, like, you know, persecute does say occasionally that we almost died while he was being born. He was 8 weeks premature. I had no prenatal care. I hid my pregnancy for 16 weeks because I was a scared senior in high school, a teenager. Like, I had just turned 18 when I started my senior year. But I was still, you know, I was still in school. I had an abruption. I started hemorrhaging. They had to take him emergency C-section. The fact that Christian weighed almost, he was over 4.5 pounds. He shouldn't have weighed more than 3 pounds. He was a huge preemie. That's God's providence. And I tell people, like when I told everybody when he graduated high school, that his life started in an abortion clinic, because I was going to go to college. So I'm like, oh yes, I need an abortion. I didn't. I decided in the waiting room waiting to have an abortion, I changed my mind.
Oh my gosh.
And then 16 weeks, and that was at 16 weeks. And then 16 weeks later, my body tries to abort him. I start having an abruption. Like, the enemy has been after my son since conception, whether he was protecting Christian from me and then protecting him from having a being born premature. Christian was only in the NICU for 11 days. He was big. He was thriving. He didn't need oxygen. There's no learning deficits. He didn't have, you know, any mental challengers. He had no CP, nothing. Christian is completely perfect, as if I would have carried him full term.
Wow.
The provision for the Lord, for the provision on Christian's life, of even Christian being protected from me as an unsaved, crazy, selfish, party, alcoholic, feminist mother for the first 12 years of his life. Christian is the way he is in spite of me. Christian has no ill will towards me. There's no unspoken, you know, resentment that he holds towards me. We have an amazing relationship. That's not because of me. That's been God's hand on his life from conception. So there is no one in this world that can tell me that my son does not have a divine purpose here on this planet. I know he does. Because even from the beginning, the Lord protected him from me when I was not living for the Lord. And then having Christian come live with me after I got saved. And Christian has then, for the last 11 to 12 years, he's been living with me and living, you know, with me until he graduated high school. Then he went to go and live in Vegas with his father. But now he's back in, you know, Georgia, trying to figure out all the things with me. But he's been able to see the work of the Lord in my life and see the change in me. And we can both recognize that. For those first 12 years of Christian's life, the Lord's hand was heavy on his life, because I wasn't being a good advocate for my children. I wasn't even advocating for myself. So there's all those things when you can see the full picture of things, and you know that there's more to come, and you know that God is sovereign and he's in control, and nothing that is happening right now is a surprise to him. I just have to relinquish the control that I feel that I need, and I'm going to let the Lord handle the things as he sees fit.
Did the doctors tell you, how did everything started on your end with the cancer?
Mm-mm. It was just Hodgkin's lymphoma. It's just something that was probably growing for a couple of years because I had symptoms for about 18 months. And no one ever thought to do any scans. It was just blood work and everything.
So it wasn't anything had to do with drug related? Like, I mean, the drugs that you used to do in your past?
I smoked weed. I mean, okay. I didn't do anything heavier than maybe ecstasy twice.
Okay.
And it wasn't, not a lot of repetitive stuff. I drank more than I ever smoked weed.
Okay. Well, that's one of the questions they asked me. Do you drink alcohol? And I go, no. I said,
Yeah.
I was a glass of wine every December. And they're like,
And you think too, like, I haven't had a cigarette or a drink for over a decade.
Wow.
You know, like since I got saved, it's been almost 11, 12 years. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's something that, like I said, I think the Lord has used all the things in my life to show himself to me.
Mm-hmm.
And to remind me of the fact that he's always got my best interest at heart, even when I'm physically suffering, and, mm-hmm. and it's going to be okay.
Yeah, you're going to be okay. There's a purpose. Mm-hmm. There is a purpose.
For everything.
Yep. There's people that passed, and like a good testimony of Dean Braxton that passed away for an hour. He was an hour. He went to the ER because of kidney stones. So he became sepsis, and something happened that the medication that gave him just didn't work. It actually was doing harm. And all of his organs were shutting down, and he went out. He died instantly, and the doctors, and they just kind of noticed what happened, and CPR, you know, they just try their best to get him back. And he was gone. He left, and then he didn't want to come back. He said he saw the Lord, he saw the angels, he saw family. And he says, listen, and I get the question asked to me, you know, didn't you love your parents? Didn't you love your children and your wife? And, you know, he goes, yes, I love them with all my heart, but I did not want to come back.
Well, so, Jesus even says, like, whoever doesn't hate his father or mother, like, cannot follow after me. Like, you have to love him more than all else. He's not telling you, obviously, to hate your family.
Yeah.
But you have to choose, is living for the Lord going to, like, set the precedence over everything else? You know, like, he's the most important.
That's how it is. He said that he saw his family, saw this, and he just didn't want to come back. He wanted to be there in the presence of God and be with the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And he just didn't want to come back. But there was a purpose, and God told him, I need you more on earth than I do need you here.
It emboldens
you.
So
you need to go back. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It emboldens you to be more outspoken for your faith, to have those moments of like, okay, like life is fleeting. Notice that the book of James says that our life is like a vapor. Like, it's gone in an instant.
Yeah.
So if you look at, we live 90 years on earth, you know, that's a blip of time compared to eternity forever, right? So why are we so hyper-focused on those 90 days when we have, or those 90 years when we have, like, infinite.
An eternity.
We have an eternity with God in his presence.
Hmm.
At the end of the day, oh, you're going to unfollow me from social medias? Sorry. What are you going to do? You're not going to do anything to me that the Lord cannot, like, pay back 100-fold.
And I'm giving out good testimonies, because if I was to give out the ones that, like, I think there was this guy named Howard. I forgot his last name. He was an atheist professor, and he went to hell. Mm-hmm. Then he went to heaven. God rescued him. But it was for his testimony. His change was so dramatic. It was so dramatic, his wife ended up divorcing him. Mm-hmm. Because she said, I married an atheist professor. I did not marry a Christian man.
Yeah,
you know, a man that changed into a godly man and now wants to be involved in God the whole entire time.
Yeah.
And he he completely made a turnaround. She ended up, I can't take it no more.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, well, you do what you got to do, but I'm not going to give up God whatsoever.
Yeah. And that's when I said, like, back to what I said, like, we're all going to have to come to a point where we're going to have to make that choice. We're going to have to make our stand outside ourselves and out loud and be prepared for the consequences.
Wow.
That's it.
That's how it is. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's okay.
It's okay. Yeah. That's how it is. Live for God and you'll see everything's going to work out good.
For sure.
Put your faith in him. Now, Jerry, I know time is of essence, and I know you got to get back pretty soon to work and everything. And I want to thank you so much for coming on the podcast. I really wanted to you be on so you give out your testimony and what God has done for you and as a cancer survivor and how did it happen. What advice can you give for those that are actually listening and probably going through cancer and going through something of the sort or anything that is just as delicate? What do you recommend? What advice you give them?
First, I would say if you are a believer, get lost in the Word. If you're not a member of a local body of believers and in a community or in a church, or you don't worship with people, you need that. We were not created to do life alone. And I know, like, I mean, I work for a church and I know what people think about church as a not a business, but the behind the scenes stuff. And I understand that you can get lost in the weeds with all of that stuff. But if you can find a Bible-believing, gospel-centered church, get plugged in, read your Bible, pray. The Lord will, he'll lead you in the path that he has for you. And if you are not a believer, whether you're on the fence or if you're just dead set against Christianity, I would ask that you, for once, if you've never prayed, pray for the first time and ask God to reveal himself to you, and he will. And you can do that by reading his word. You can do that by just, you know, going out. Some people are, they see the Lord and they experience God in nature. They look at a sunset and they know that there's something there. And the Bible says in Romans 1:2 that he wrote his laws on our heart. We were all born with a conscience. We all know right from wrong, right? You don't have to, you know, when you're 2 years old and you do something bad, you have that feeling in your chest like, oops, yep, that was bad. God gave that to us. God put that in us. So when you go into nature and you see, you hear the beautiful birds singing and you see a sunset or you see a sunrise, we know within ourselves that somebody had to, like, there, God is in his creation. We see him and we experience him in his creation. He made it that way. And he wrote his laws in our heart. And I would just ask you to search your heart and tap into the quickening and the pulling of what we say is the Holy Spirit, because he's working on our behalf, like all of us, because God does not want any of us to not be in heaven with him. But it's like Jeff said before, like, we all have a choice. You have a choice. He's not going to force himself on you, but he is so ready and willing and waiting with open arms for you to turn and choose him. And he will never let you go. Everything that you've ever done is forgivable. He will never, ever change his mind about you. You will always be forgiven. You will always be accepted. And all you have to do is choose him. Choose him and he'll choose you he'll choose you every day for the rest of your life.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that's it.
Amen. That's true. I mean, he's there just knocking on the door.
He's just waiting
for you to open up that door.
He's waiting.
And as soon as you open, he's going to come in and eat with you.
And
just give him the chance.
Give
if you reject him, then that's your choice.
That's your choice. Yeah.
He's not going to reject you. He's going to help you out through what you're going through.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people have gone through a lot of stuff, and God has been good and merciful.
Yep.
So, well, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Jerry. Well, this was awesome. This was awesome. Thank you.
I hope so.
Oh, yeah. It is good. Okay, folks. Well, thank you so much, Jerry. Thank you. Okay. my people, thank you so much for tuning in. Till next time, God bless you. Peace.
Thank you for listening to the Dr. VTech Show, and don't forget to click follow.